It's now 6:32, March 14, 2017. Call this meeting to order for Land and Natural Resources Cultural Preservation Committee. Invocation, I'd like to ask Thomas, would you offer that for us this evening?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to meet at this time. We thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon our citizens and our nations. And we ask you to be in our presence as we conduct this meeting for the benefit of this nation. And Father, we thank you again for all of your blessings. And we ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings. All this we ask in your most gracious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Thomas. Next we have roll call. Gacy.
Darrell Parker.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Del Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Shaholin.
Here.
Mitch Jack.
Here.
Chairman, I got 5 present, 0 absent.
5 present, 0 absent. This constitutes a quorum, and any business transacted this evening will be official. Next we have is approval minutes for February 20th, 2017. I give time, committee time to review and ask for a motion. Motion was made to accept the minutes with any necessary changes by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Del Beaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes has been approved. Next is an order of business. Camp and Camp House and Fellowship Hall grant applications. First we have is Grant Chapel United Methodist Church Josephine Deer, which was postponed on 2/20 of 2017. Questions. I guess she's requesting. We sent her back to add the pump to the grant application,
mm-hmm.
And it had went out in that time from the last time we met, and they had paid for it and got it fixed. She's asking if this she could apply this to her grant application. Anybody want to discuss that?
Okay.
I mean that's up to the committee, and we feel like it's okay. I feel like that's the reason we sent her back to put it on there.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make an amendment to her request for this $4,500 to include $758.98 for the pump.
Okay. Okay, new total for that would be 5358. Okay, motion's been made to amend by Mark Randolph to 5358.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Roll call vote on the amendment.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That has been amended to 5358. And back to our main motion and with included water pump for this, so it'd be 5358. Anybody have any questions on this?
There wasn't a main motion.
I know. It was amended. Mm-hmm. Back to a main motion. With the total.
Isn't that we all just approved the total?
Well, we were just amending that to that and added it to that, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now the total is at.
Well, approving for that total.
Yes. Yeah. Need a motion to approve it for the total.
Make a motion to approve the new total, the due pass.
Motion has been made for a due pass for 5358.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That has been approved. Everything's been taken care of on this. Okay. All right. Okay, next application we have.
Do you all have copies?
Yes.
Okay.
Next application we have is Greenleaf Ceremonial Ground, Lorene Cully.
Come up here and say.
Okay, we received your application and you're asking for funds to help rebuild your camp, is that correct?
Yes.
Anybody have any questions?
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Shihola. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. So everything correct on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So just curious, what's next after this? They contact her or? How does that work?
Gacy. I'll write a letter to Chief's office, and from Chief's office, it'll go to the county, and I'll get the check, and I'll call you when it's ready.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
You want me to call that
secondary
number?
Secondary number?
This one? Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Next application we have is Hickory Ground number 2, Indian Baptist, Steve Randall. Anybody have any questions?
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph, seconded by Thomas Shihola. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Everything correct on there?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What else?
Next application we have is Tewatli Indian Baptist, Barton Looney. Any questions? Yes, Thomas?
Question on the amount, $7,000 is our limit.
Okay. $7,000 is the limit, and anything over that is your responsibility. Motion to approve by Thomas Shihola.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That one's been approved. Next application is the Washington Indian Baptist Church for the Fellowship Hall, Barton Looney. And any questions on that one? Motion for due pass by Mark Randall, seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That one has been approved also. All right. Ooh. Next application we have is Arbica Ceremonial Ground, Solomon Wilson. Questions? Your total is $34.65. Anybody have any questions? Motion to approve by Thomas Shihola.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Everything correct on here? All that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Been approved.
About a week and a half. I'll call you on the text room.
Okay. Yeah. Next application is Raw Community Baptist, John Tulsa. Questions on this application?
Motion due pass.
Second.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph, seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That's been approved. All right. Says so it'll take about a week and a half to
get him. She'll run.
Mm-hmm. She'll give you a call.
Call
that. I'll call John.
Okay.
Okay.
They weren't that bad. It was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Next application we have is Arbica Ceremonial Ground, Ace Buckner.
You know, most of the time you come to the council and you always got amendment. I got amendment too. They forgot this pretty.
Okay.
This one here. But it brings the price down much for everybody. I didn't make a copy because I don't have a copy machine.
Okay, your amount was $28.48, and now it's $29.73.
Yeah, because they added the clips, which goes on the joists and hairpin ties because it's needed, and then the trusses that go across when you build your trusses, they forgot to add that number to it.
Okay, so
it is more. It is not very much more, but I didn't have a copy.
Okay, okay, that's fine.
Oh, that's same as the first page.
The total amount.
$29.73. The total amount is $29.73.35. I guess that needs to be amended.
Make amendment that change the amount to $29.73 and $35.
Yeah. Motion been made to amend to $29.73 and $35 by Mark Randolph.
Seconded
by Dale Beaver. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Doe Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against on the amendment. Next we have is for the main motion, main total. Any questions?
Need a motion.
Need a motion?
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass.
Second.
Seconded by motion due pass by Mark Randolph, seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Doe Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. All right.
What else?
You got? Is this all correct?
Yeah, that's me. Okay. You know where I live. Don't come collect.
Hey.
Hey, you need coffees, you just let me know.
Oh, okay. I'll probably do it. I forget.
All right, next we have is TR-17-029, a tribal resolution of Schoharie Creek Nation authorizing Principal Chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the nation and city of Henrietta for the maintenance of roadways and associate rights of ways constructed or improved by the Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transportation Program. Sponsors Dale Beaver.
The chairman make a motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
The Transportation Department had received a request to have this route added to our inventory, and it's the frontage road that provides access to the new rehabilitation facility. So this is just a request for this agreement with us in the city of Henrietta, and so come in and do it.
That one says Henrietta. This one says Oatmoggy here.
Oh, okay. Where the
title
signatures are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll get that fixed.
Well, let's see. On here it says Oatmoggy. On this one. Right there it says Henrietta.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like it might be correct in this legislation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's just our title. It's
okay.
On our agenda. Okay. Any other questions? Any questions? Roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you. Next item we have is TR-17-030, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the Nation and City of Oatmoggy for the maintenance of roadways and associated rights of way constructed or improved by the Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transportation Program. Sponsors Dale Beaver.
Chairman, make a motion to be passed.
Motion for due pass by Dale Beaver. Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
This is this is for the walking trail in the city of Okmulgee that began near the Sonic restaurant in that area. They go down 6th Street and they'll wind along the creek bank and go tie into the trail that the YMCA has in their facility.
Any questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what the approximate cost is going to be?
No, I don't. We're not to the design stage of that yet. This is just to get it in the inventory.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the wrong one. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passed.
Thank you.
Next we have is TR17-031, a tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an incoming loan extension with the National Park Services for the purpose of continuing to allow the Southeast Archaeological Center to curate Muscogee Creek human remains and funerary objects until reinterment site can be determined. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion second. For due pass by Mark Randolph, seconded by Mitch Jack. In discussion.
This resolution is asking to extend the current loan agreement that we have with the National Park Service. They are actually holding the remains and funerary objects for us until we were able to find a proper reburial location at Okmulgee National Monument. Okmulgee National Monument is responsible for paying for the reburial, and they've come into some money issues this fiscal year, and it was hoped to actually be completed last fall, but due to those funding restrictions, they asked for extension, and we requested a year loan for them to keep curating the items, but we anticipate the reburial to happen before this fiscal year ends. So it's just a year as a kind of a protection in case something else comes up, but I can answer any questions you have about the items or the park or the repatriation if you'd like.
All right. Any questions? Would you say that it'd be extended till?
April 2018.
April of 2018. Okay.
Yeah. It expires in April of this year.
Okay. No questions? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes, I think. Okay. Next item we have is TR17-032, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a pragmatic agreement concerning Section 106 and Section 110 responsibilities under the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966 as amended, for the delivery of Federal Emergency Management Agency assistance in the state of Louisiana. Sponsors, Del Beaver.
Chairman, I make a motion to due pass.
Motion for due pass by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randall. Discussion.
So this is asking for the nation to assign this agreement with the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, in the state of Louisiana. This is for the National Historic Preservation Act, which means protection of historical properties and any items that are places that are culturally significant to Creek Nation, that if certain projects can be exempt and we wouldn't necessarily have to see every project. So projects like snow removal or gravel or temporary school, things like that in emergency situations that FEMA would put up, that it could go on without consultation. And so this agreement goes through and talks about the type of projects that would be exempt. We reviewed it there with 13 other tribes, and I believe 7 tribes are ready to sign. We have very little jurisdiction within Louisiana, but I have a map here if you'd like to see. It's basically just along the Mississippi River. This is our area of interest in the 12 states. But this programmatic agreement is just for the state of Louisiana and for FEMA. As you can see, we have just around the waterway, the waterways where we were for removal routes.
Any questions? No questions, roll call vote.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you. Next item we have is TR17-033. A tribal resolution of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a United States Department of the Interior Bureau of Indian Affairs right-of-way application granting A&T Corporation an easement for the relocation, use, and maintenance of fiber cables in tribal property located in Okpuskey County, Oklahoma. Sponsor is Daryl Proctor. Motion for due pass by Thomas Yehola.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Thank you. Let us know what you
This is for a right-of-way that is by the Okpuskey Community Center on Highway 48 for a fiber optic line that AT&T has applied for here, and we're almost complete with the application process, and hopefully this will pass, and I think it would be a good thing.
All right, any questions?
Is this right away? Is it located in the road easement? Within a road easement?
No. On towards the end of your packet, there is a survey plot, and it does go parallel north and south along the highway, and it is over on.
I have a question, Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
It says in here that they'll accept the tribe counter offer for $10,000.
Yes.
So they offered less than you guys went higher.
Yes, they did. Of course, it's our job to negotiate for the tribe. And their original offer was $374. And we negotiated back and forth from there. And they came back with a couple of other different offers of $2,000, and the appraised value of this was $2,400. And we just said, you know what, we're going to set it at $10,000. So we offered for them to do that. They came back with an $8,000 offer, and then we just stuck to the $10,000. Said, you know, this is what we want. This is what we believe would be a good and fair price for the tribe.
Well, I want to commend you on that. Thank you for negotiating. When I read that, I was like,
yes, sir.
Yes,
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you had any instances where fiber optics have been placed on road right-of-ways?
There are instances where, yes, that has happened. And, you know, the federal regulations, it's considered piggybacking, it's not supposed to occur. So we have to go back to that company and say, you're piggybacking, and we have to tell them you can't just throw in with the Department of Transportation and say, hey, I'm just going in with them, that's my right away, I don't have to, apply for anything. So we actually have to go back and make those companies apply the right way and make a payment to whomever, whether it be an individual landowner or the tribe.
Okay. Does that also apply to county roads?
Yes. If it is within Yes.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is because I have property in Seminole County,
mm-hmm.
and I go up there the weekend, and one weekend there was a crew working there, I guess they're a contract crew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them, what jurisdiction do you have to lay this fiber optic in a right-of-way, mm-hmm. road right-of-way?
Mm-hmm.
And then I called them and asked them, they said they had that right to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a letter to them, also AT&T, but never did get a response.
Right.
I know it wasn't long, but it was just a principle.
Okay.
So they would just come in and just imply that they had the right of way. That's too piggyback, I guess you might say.
Right, right. No, they do not. Is it restricted? Is this particular plan?
Yes, it's restricted.
And we would be happy to help you with that, if you would like us to. The right-of-way person that works on these right-of-ways now, she's really, really good at her job and getting responses and getting them to do the right thing.
Okay.
Would you like for me to have her contact you?
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions?
I got one more.
Yes.
Now, a fiber optic cable doesn't leak oil, right?
A fiber optic cable?
Yeah, it doesn't leak oil, right?
It doesn't have anything to do with oil.
I'm good.
No more questions? Roll call vote.
Thomas Yerholen?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman, I have 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you. Next item we have is TR17-034, the tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of understanding between the nation and Hughes County for the maintenance of roadways and associated rights of way constructed or improved by the Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Transportation Program. Sponsor is Thomas Yerholen. Motion for D-Pass by Thomas Yerholen. Seconded by Mitch Jack. Discussion.
Yes.
There is one time mistake in here, and that this is the road going to the Holmvale Middle School, and this portion of the road actually does lie within the city limits of the city of Holmvale. So instead of being in agreement with Hughes County, it should be at the city of Holmvale.
Yes, go ahead.
About that amendment to change the language from Hughes County to the city of Holdenville throughout the legislation.
Second. Okay, motion's been made to amend Hughes County throughout the legislation to the city of Holdenville. Motion been made by Tom Shell, seconded by Ms. Jack. Roll call on the amendment.
Thomas Yerholen?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Back to the main motion.
And another amendment on the memorandum of understanding
mm-hmm.
between the nation and Hughes County, Oklahoma, to the city of Holdenville also. And also on the signature page, it has Board of County Commissioners, We Wolf, Oklahoma. That needs to be changed to Holdenville. The city of Holdenville. Put their address.
We just need to get a new agreement. I can't remember. We just need to give us a new agreement.
Okay.
Okay. Just a new agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
So on that one, do we pass this as it is?
You can pass the legislation as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout the legislation change. From county to city,
mm-hmm.
but they just need to provide a different agreement.
With the corrected agreement.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
Any more questions? Okay. So with our amended, we don't need to amend anything in this right now. As you said.
Right. No, we could do the legislation. Mm-hmm. We need to amend that.
But they do, with the new agreement, they'll produce a new one for the council, full council.
Yeah.
I can hear it for you in the morning.
Yeah, and we'll make copies of that for planning session.
Okay, all right. We'll make sure we got that. Okay, your other amended?
Yeah, just withdraw the second.
Okay, all right.
So back to the main motion.
Back to the main motion with amended amendments. Any questions? Roll call vote.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Bill Beaver.
Yes.
Pitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes. All right, thank you. Next item we have is for, I'll turn it over to Mark Randolph.
TR 17-035, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation, authorizing the partnership of the Muskogee Creek Nation with Oklahoma State University Horticulture Department Foundation for food and agricultural research funding opportunity for the Sovereign Tribal Nations Food Systems Initiative. Sponsor is Darrell Proctor.
Motion for due pass.
Motion to pass. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Representative Beaver. Discussion.
Ms. Carly, you'll be up here to discuss that.
Good evening. This opportunity is to be a collaborative partner with Oklahoma State University Department of Horticulture in their Native Food Sovereignty Initiative. They have a multi-year program wherein they will conduct a survey of traditional foods that are being grown within the Muskogee Creek and Choctaw Nations to make a determination about developing as a bank and a repository of traditional crops, and as well as do some test plots to make some husbandry recommendations about what grows best, how to treat the soil, treat the plant, and make sure that traditional crops are being preserved throughout the nation. They'll start with Muskogee Creek and Choctaw, and we'll expand from there. What this does is allows Chief to execute a letter of support in their grant application. They are applying for a grant. If the grant is awarded, we would come back with additional legislation to execute an MOA and authorize cash appropriation as well as an in-kind commitment.
Any questions? No questions, roll call vote, please.
Darrell Proctor.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mark Randolph. Next item we have is TR-17-036, tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation repealing TR-16-022, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a right-of-way and easement at Granite across tribal land for the construction, use, and maintenance of pipeline for Diamond Pipeline LLC in Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. Sponsors, Mark Randolph.
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Discussion.
I don't know if anyone wants to speak on this, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. We went over it last time. We were going to repeal it last month, but there were some concerns about the deed. The deed was looked into. It was flipped back to the previous owner. The land is no longer ours, and neither are the mortgages. Listed here, there's two mortgages, one for over $1 million and another one for $237,310. So those are things that we would no longer be any part of. So this bill would just repeal it. And that, if you look at the last page, it says, let it further be resolved that all meetings of pipeline representatives, including consultations and negotiations, must include a representative from the Chief's Office, National Council, and the Nation's Realty, Environmental Services, and Historic and Cultural Preservation Departments. I think that's just to safeguard us from, everybody should be included from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to commend Ms. Butler also. One of the things that she did, I'd like you just to stand up and tell us about the monitors. you make it up, is it still in effect or?
Yeah, we currently have the application or the contract monitoring in the AG's office, and once they approve, then the chief can sign the contract and we can get our people out there on the line to monitor the construction that's going on. And then, as far as we know, they said they were still ready and able to allow us to come out. We just have to do some training with them, and then we'll be able to be out on the pipeline for the duration of the project.
Thank you, Ms. Butler. Mm-hmm. I want to say, too, Ms. Butler was very, very helpful with me on our research and educated me on this. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, Thomas. Can anyone answer, has the deed been filed of record? I know it said it's executed. Has it been filed of record?
Yes, sir. It was filed the same day it was executed.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more comments, questions? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item is NCA 17-030.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to move NCA 17-030 and NCA 17-031 to the end of the agenda.
Okay, motion's been made to move NCA 17-030 and NCA 17-031 down to the bottom agenda. Seconded by Mark Randolph. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? All right, those will be at the end of the agenda. And next item we have is NCA 17-032, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded from the United States Department of Interior Bureau of Indian Affairs for the Office of Environmental Services Groundwater Monitoring Project. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass.
Second.
By Mark Randolph, seconded by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
Good evening. Martin Moons, the project officer on this. So the DIA is kind of a concurrent grant that we've been getting since I was hired on as a hydrologist. For a couple of years now, and it's basically studying groundwater aquifer characterization methods in Creek County, Old Fussy County, on the Atavamusa sandstone. So it entails installing monitoring wells and doing pumping tests and monitoring water levels yearly, or as much as we can afford, and also hiring USGS hydrologists to help with the data analysis and develop models. So it does two things, which is monitor water quality. We got tons of citizens in that area live on wells. Even the city of Bristow, public supply, they draw water from wells. Lots of oil and gas activity, lots of things going on over there. So it's just a very important area that we need to monitor and watch. And that's what I've been doing. Of course, it's taking forever, but it'll get done.
All right. Any questions?
Thank you.
No questions. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shihola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have, that will be forwarded to, it's a grant.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, next item we have is NCA 17-033, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a budget modification in excess of 10% for the Muscogee Creek Nation Environmental Services Program. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
This is a similar project, except with the Bureau of Reclamation. Began last summer, last spring, on the South Canadian Alluvium Aquifer. We're a little bit far more progressed than the BIA project, but either way, both projects are extremely hard to do. The reason for the modification in excess of 10% was the original drilling quote to do to drill the wells and do a pumping, a 24-hour pumping test was quoted at $9,700, which was on the budget. As soon as we started looking at better drillers, experienced drillers, and a sonic rotary method drilling that allows us to get better data and look at the core samples to include in our work, which was suggested by the USGS workers as well, that jumped up to $20,500, I think. But once we started getting going, they just dropped down to $20,000. So that's when we came with the that appropriation for $10,080, which was $380 for OWRB permit and $9,700, which is what we had left to pay for that out of our original budget. So we got granted the budget, which had everything, but it had that remaining left to pay for the $20,000 to do the work, and that's what we pretty much asked for on that $10,080 plus $380 for a permit, which found out we didn't have to use anyways. We didn't have to apply for. So now we was wanting to move. We was like, okay, well, we got the USGS workers already in the original grant budget for $10,000. We'll just use this $10,080 to pay for the USGS workers. But we can't do that unless we go over a 10% budget modification.
Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Doe Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Rahola.
Yes.
Chairman, got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. So thank you. Next item we have is NCA 17-034, Law of the Muscogee Creek Nation, establishing the Muscogee Creek Nation Natural Resource Conservation District Revolving Fund for all income generated revenues. Sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
Mr. Killian.
Yes, thank you, Speaker and Council members. This is just so we're to the point that we can also start generating income for the Natural Resources Conservation District. One of the opportunities that we have now, we have a cooperative agreement with BIA to for the wild land fire management. We'll actually be able to go out and restrict the hazardous fuels that are on restricted and trust properties. That's one of the opportunities we have. We'll also be able to have our services available to our citizens at a rate where we can go out and help them with any kind of brush removal, any type of services that the conservation district programs have available now.
Any questions?
Chairman, I got.
Yes, go ahead, Dale.
Ms. Fung, do you have an idea of how much revenue y'all can generate?
Well, we're just starting out with this, the BIA project, but we have the opportunity to actually have other agreements with them to where we can do proper agreements with them to provide some of these services. We have a project now that they have out where we'll go out and provide when the agreement comes for that particular citizen's land, we can go out and be able to do the brush removal, be able to charge, for equipment use, our labor, any kind of supplies and things like that. So this will be our first opportunity. So I feel like we have an opportunity to actually generate quite a bit.
Thank you. Right.
Questions? Yes.
And that has to do with the red cedar, doesn't it? Also, the red cedars that they're
going to remove. Right. Yeah. Yes.
I went out there and seen their enough. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a machine, and that just has a little thing in front where it just cuts it right down.
Our T-Rex.
Yeah, the T-Rex. Yeah. That was crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Chihola?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passed. Next item we have is NCA 17-035, a law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation for design services related to the Council House Visitor Center project. Sponsor is Del Beaver.
Chairman, I make a motion to be passed.
Motion for be passed by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
This is for the visitor center that's directly across the street from the Council House, which will serve as a receiving area for visitors, guests. It'll also serve as an area for rotating exhibits and an art gallery, permanent physical location for the gift shop. It will also serve as permanent collection storage for the collection that's currently stored at the Riverwalk and Jenks. It will serve as office space, all our departments in one building. The second floor serves. It will also have conference rooms and other public meeting space in addition to that. And then on the third floor, the proposed project will be kind of an event area that can be rented out or used as a meeting area on the rooftop. The biggest, I think, function, the most major function of this is mainly our permanent collection storage. I can also pass out this floor plan that was provided, which is on the third or fourth page there. Here's another one. I guess I can sort of get stapled.
Yeah. While she's handing those out, you know, the Council House Visitor Center has been the long-term plan in terms of conjunction with the Council House. We have the Council House groundbreaking on the 21st. That project will be going full-fledged. We've got the historic tax credits that we'll be getting on that. We've worked out all the kinks on that process. This is will be an extension of that project. That's why you're looking at using the same architect that we've used previously. The rates will not be as high because this is not a historic restoration. And so this is more of us moving into a historic building, but not a historic restoration. So there'll be much lower architectural fees associated with that. But we thought it would be prudent for multiple reasons to extend this project, which was originally kind of thought out as being one larger project, and this is really just an extension of that. With their history and connection with the Council House project, we thought it makes sense just to utilize Seltzer Schaefer on this project as well. We've got one of the challenges that we have in terms of independent fundraising, also going out and seeking grants such as the ICDBG grant and other construction grants, and utilizing our independent Historical Cultural Foundation, is that, you know, we don't have the full-fledged cost estimates. We have a pretty good idea, and we don't have the construction documents. We really need those, and that shows in terms of us going out and doing a major capital campaign, we need that commitment from the nation. Say, hey, you know, we've committed $200,000, we've committed to get the design, and we know that with us purchasing the building and then with the paying out the architectural fees, that we can use that as a start of a larger capital campaign. We have applied for several grants, particularly with the Versions Foundation. We submitted a $100,000 grant to the Versions. We're also going to be looking at the Mabee Foundation. We have all of our information is up to date with the state of Oklahoma for our independent 501c3 foundation to move forward with that. So this is just the next logical step of getting the visitor center, and then have a permanent location for our collection, which is being housed currently in a retail space on Riverwalk.
We're also currently looking at possibly using tax credits to fund part of this as well. So we are looking at other forms of funding in addition to the grants.
Grants and then either historic or non-historic tax credits, depending on the whether or not the building itself is considered to be contributing or non-contributing, I think. But
okay. Any questions?
I do.
Sure. Mitch.
Ms. Rose, what would this fund account be for this?
This would come out of capital improvements.
And how much do we have in there as we speak now?
As we speak right now, it's over $1 million.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yes, Bill.
Chairman. So, with this right here, with these plans, then we'll have a fairly good idea what it would take, what it would cost to get it up to speed and up to going, right? Of how much money we'll need. And but with that also, then you have the information needed to go after other grants, tax credits, and right. Everything else, right?
Absolutely.
So this is like the first step in knowing exactly what we'll need.
Right.
I mean, it's our property. We need to do something with it, right? And I think when we kind of learned a lesson last month with some of the items that we need a real space to house our items. And so this is kind of the first step in this, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we want the collection space to be accessed by the public. These collections belong to the public, and we want them to have a nice space where they can see that these things are being treated, you know, with the utmost respect. When visitors come to look at these things, there will also be a research room off to the side where we can pull things from the collection. There'll be a decontamination area that we'll probably seek further funding for. So right when the construction's done, it'll probably be just an empty room. Then we can write grants to have some sort of decontamination when we get new collections in, because you never know where they come from, if they have bugs, or that'll get rid of those so that we can put them into the collection storage area as well. So that would be a fully functioning collection space. And eventually cold storage, but that's not going to be, it's also be another empty room until we write a grant for that, which where you would store your photographs and other kind of film and that sort of things in.
And yes, Chairman, one of the things that I'm really proud of our Cultural Center Archives Department is, you know, they have been very prudent about going out and seeking outside funds, grants, been very diligent in writing those grants. I think we have two or three grants out right now. We're waiting on to see if we are going to receive any of those. One of the other things that we're doing is also we created the Red Stick Art Gallery downtown. They're in a temporary space. We got a really good deal on a lease, which is all bills paid, $400 a month. That we'll be ready to go in terms of operating a gift shop. That is the long-term business plan. Also, the rooftop area will be also used for fundraisers, not only for Cultural Center and Archives, but any Muskoka Creek Nation entity that would like to have a fundraiser and have the backdrop of the council house. And we could lease that space out for weddings, for receptions, for anything. So that's really an area that we could lease out and be a part of the long-term strategic plan, so that we don't have to come back and seek additional funding on an annual basis, so that council house eventually could potentially be somewhat independent from a budgetary standpoint. And I think they have a pretty good idea and a grasp of what the costs are going to be. And if anybody would like to see the business plan they put together, they can share it with you.
Mm-hmm. Questions?
Who's the gentleman with you?
I'm the architect.
Okay.
My name is Robert Schaefer.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any more questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Rahala.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. All right, thank you. And this will be forwarded to BF&J for funding. Next item, I will turn over to Mark Randolph.
Good
MCA 17039, law of the Muscogee Creek Nation, authorizing a donation to the American Indian Cultural Center and Museum. Sponsor is Dale Proctor.
Motion for due pass.
Motion due pass. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Thomas Shahola. Discussion?
Yes. Why does it require 2/3 vote?
Not in committee.
Why does it require 2/3 vote?
It was over the donation amount.
Oh, so that's what the donation amount is?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Lindsay, you have, y'all go over this here?
I can talk a little bit about it. Whitney had sent it to me just so we could look at it, and I can help her draft the legislation, but I believe that's all the attachments. In 2012, it looks like when this museum was first planned, the nation did agree to make a donation of $250,000 for the construction of it, which I think there almost every other tribe in the state made roughly the same amount donation, and then it hit some snags as far as funding from the state side, so the construction was halted, and now they're ready to finish the construction and actually get it open. So they came back to the chief's office and asked for a new commitment, agreement to fulfill our original agreement to provide $250,000 total. So we already had done $50,000 in 2012 when it originally passed. This will appropriate another $50,000 directly and then authorize it to continue for the next 2-3 years until we meet the full obligation of $250,000 at $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So that's all I
know. All right. Thank you.
Any questions?
I'm just saying, so you said the other tribes did their due diligence as far as putting it to this as well?
Yeah, far as I know, everyone else is agreeing to get their
consent. Right, because I know that was the problem that we had last time.
Right. Uh-huh. Far as I know, like I said, I didn't have direct conversations with the museum representatives. Uh-huh. I believe Chief did, but we can double check on that. But I believe everyone is really wrong.
Thank you. That's it.
I have a question. Are we locked into this? I mean, I know we agreed to it. Can it be repealed, or I'm just wondering?
Did you mean like the original agreement from 2012 when we choose not to do it again? Mm-hmm. You can choose to do what you'd like. What the ramifications of that would be, I don't know off the top of my head. I hadn't actually ever read the actual agreement from 2012. So that I didn't know. Yes, you can certainly choose not to re-up the commitment. I would be back to you tomorrow to have time to read this. Let me know what the ramifications are.
I was just wondering. Thank you.
The guys don't break trees.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Any more questions?
How do we know that they got their budget? How do we know they met their goal that they're supposed to?
Because I wasn't at the actual meeting for this, chief office met with the representatives. I don't know that for sure. That's just the information I got from Whitney, was that she believed that was the case. But I can check with her and have her get more information and get back to you.
Thank you. All right. Chairman, I did talk with Chief today, and we did have a meeting with the, I guess, the committee of the museum up there, and we spoke with Dan Bourne, and there were several of them that came down, and after talking with Chief today, he just we're going to reiterate what she said just a while ago as far as the explanation is concerned, you know, that this was a commitment was made in the past administration, and felt like that being that we run into a snag with the state, you know, the state did, and so we quit paying. But now they made another commitment saying that they did have the funds to go ahead and finish this. And so I haven't seen anything on paper, but it was just the committee that came to the meeting and was telling us about it. So, and the chief said that we was just gonna, you know, if you guys wanted to, that we would go ahead and start making payments again, and that they was going to go ahead and start with their commitment too, and that and of course we've already paid 50. After this 50, it'll be 100. So we have like 150,000 more. So in the next couple of years. So, but anyway, kind of what the chief said today. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I got a question. Yes, do you know who will hold title to the land?
I assume the nonprofit museum authority will. I believe that's also going to run the museum, but I don't know that for sure, but I can find that out and get back to you. Yeah, I'm sure it's the state. It's either state, I would guess, or a nonprofit foundation.
I have
Just a minute.
Yeah. Are you done?
I'm finished.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
All right. It was at the museum we've been talking about on the river in Oklahoma City. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. To give information, a lot of the people probably don't want to do. Me and Sam Proctor, at the Sam Proctor request and at the museum request, we went and built a bar, got the bar going with Billy Scouts and his son Leonard Gouts and couple other, it was his family, and they started the bar there for the museum. The museum was supposed to hold those ashes and that bar till they get finished, and they want to place a permanent bar of the Creek people where they're supposed to hold those ashes and rekindle it and then have it parted again. But that thing, trouble went on and Sam then passed on, but that bar and ashes, he told me, is still there. If we looked at it traditionally or culturally, our bar is already up there. So how have we ever handled it up to you guys? But we had already took the initial step as when they called and they talked to Sam Proctor. He called me to go with him. We went up there. We stayed up there 2 days and they kindled the bar. He had the medicine for it and the Phoenix and them lit it. And they danced and they got us, me to help talk for I think there's 39 tribes in Oklahoma, somewhere I forgot where from, and introduced the tribe to the governor, and that was what we done. So that's part of the history of that. And if you want to go from there, that's basically all what we done as Creek people.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't want to run into is like what we had in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, and I understand with what you're saying too, but just. I cannot support this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, even though Second Chief, just like what you said, they're still in agreement of trying to pay it, but what if they don't? You know, as far as the state. Because that was one of the things that we had went into last time. And again, this is just me. I figure there's that 50,000 could be going to something else. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Proctor.
Yeah, I understand your concerns, Mitch, on that. That's something that we had obligated, like I said, 5 years ago. And I think he did say it was for completion. Do we know when the completion of this will be now? Did they say anything like that?
They probably did, but I can't. Okay. I would
hate
to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Put words in their mouth.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would have somebody here to talk on this, but
mm-hmm. Okay. And I understand what the concern is, and you know, but we do have, I guess we, the chief is asking us to honor what was obligated, you know, 5 years ago, and it is a lot of money, but it's over a 3-year, 4-year period, but anyway, that's my comments.
You know, I was looking at it too as the obligation. I was thinking maybe, because we live and we learn, maybe in the future we can add something in our contracts to the tune of, you know, if it's not on schedule, we can pull our money out, you know. Mm-hmm. If, you know, because we ran into these things and it didn't got all, like, we didn't know if it was going to be completed or not. We've already given this money. And then so it turned out to be quite a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the future we can look at verbiage to where we have the option to pull out over a time
be involved.
That's just my thank you.
See, you hear that,
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wayne. I don't think you read the contract, but is it too late to put a stipulation in it that they don't pay, we don't have to? Is there a stipulation that we can do now?
I need to read the contract. I have to review the contract. I have to review the special contract, but we'll start review it and get back to you. So that may be a possibility at first.
Okay.
Anybody else? Mr. Holt.
Yes, is there someone that can be at the council meeting Saturday to answer questions? There'll probably be questions from other council members, too.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm sure if we reached out to Mr. Edwards or Mr. Warren with the committee, that, yeah, I would imagine, yes, I'm definitely willing to come in. Or I can reach out to them or get the chief's office on doing that if you'd like us to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Roll call vote, please.
Bill Proctor?
Yes.
Thomas Rahola?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
No.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 1 against.
Bill passes. I'll pass the chair back to Mr. Proctor.
All right. Thank you.
Got to refer to the FDJ.
Thank you. Okay, next item we have is a legislation that was done. At the bottom agenda, NCA 17-030, Alaudon Schuylkill Creek Nation, repealing Title 28, Chapter 6, entitled Tribal Capital Complex Master Site Plan, and creating a new Title 28, Chapter 6, entitled Tribal Master Site Plan. Sponsors, Dale Beaver.
Chairman, make a motion to do pass.
Motion for due pass for Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
Good evening.
Evening.
What this legislation does is that it replaces the existing law that has basically not been followed. What we've done is we've kind of reset the law so that it makes sense for us now moving forward, and we've cast a large net across what the Tribal Master Site Plan is going to be, so we can start to include properties like the Clyde Cox Omniplex, the industrial site, the golf course, and then create a cohesive, uniform plan to best use our resources in our property as well. So that's really the intent of it.
Okay. Any questions on this one? Dale.
Mr. Brockle, why is it limited just to 5 miles?
Well, basically, we started with 10, and that was too big. I mean, we don't want to bite off too much where we can't handle it. We don't want to be too small in scope. We don't want to focus on just the campus alone, because we have other properties that are going to complement the campus, and they're going to tie in when we try to bring in more tourism. We want every landmark to be able to tie into each other, so we can create, you know, this bigger environment. So we don't want to be too large and too small, but I think 5 miles, when we put it on the map, it encompasses a lot of the prime real estate that we have, and it captures a bunch of the resources that we want to preserve and identify and develop as well.
What is the capital improvement program?
So that is basically what the master site plan is going to drive. So if Linda Rowe has the capital improvement budget, right, this is going to help Linda Rowe and the council and everyone else figure out how to budget things. If it's part of the master site plan and we know it's a priority from the chief and we're going to fund it, well, then it goes on a list of priorities that says we're only going to fund 4 items out of 11 that everyone wants, because it's based on the capital improvement program. So what it does is it ties everything together, the budget, the property, and also the intent of the principal chief. It puts it all together in one package, so there's no surprises. We don't have programs come to the council and say, hey, we need a building next month, can you fund it? Well, we're already going to have the plan, and we're already going to have the budget established. You're already going to know ahead of time what you're going to fund. There are no surprises.
Go ahead.
And also, to segue off that, you know, in Chief's State of the Nation address, is one of his number one priorities for this year was to establish a master plan And we did look at 10 miles, but 10-mile radius is pretty extensive. So the master plan, what we're looking at is the main complex, the housing area, the 40-acre industrial site, which we've had some bleed over from our programmatic, from some of our programs are actually housed over there, the Omniplex, and then also the Country Club that would all be comprised in the new master plan that we'll be considering on the next bill. What we've got is we have a situation from the capital improvements that it's almost like there's not a lot of planning, and so everything is more like crisis mode. You know, making decisions in terms of a roof. Well, once we put together this capital improvement plan, we're going to know exactly from a maintenance, long-term maintenance standpoint, and also a capital improvement point, if whether it's new buildings, new structures on the complex, and that we don't get in the way of ourselves. Sometimes we'll build a building, and in a few years, we say, you know, we got to reverse that out because it's in the wrong spot. Prime example of that really is the splash pad. I think the splash pad was a green space in that area, but it really wasn't strategically placed. It was placed because there was a green space. And so we want to make sure that as we grow, and the nation has grown considerably over the last 10 years from an administrative standpoint, that we grow in a good way. We're going to know we want to know every single parking lot is going to be. We know the long-term needs from office space. We know the long-term needs of the citizens. And part of that process, we'll go around and interview all the departments, and we'll actually help hold community meetings as well, so that we work all this into a capital plan and a master plan and a long-term strategic plan, so that we make the right decisions now, and we know what the nation is going to look like in 10, 15, 20 years. And there's things that always come up. You can't think of everything. So during that process, if something comes up and we want to entertain something that's not part of the master plan, we can amend that master plan. But just sticking to a long-term plan, I think, would be very beneficial and would be provide enormous cost savings over a substantial period of time.
What about the Pecan Grove?
Pecan Grove will be in this, because that's actually, we're looking at that as maybe a long-term horse, what's it called? Like expo and like for horses and for rodeos and stuff like that. But that's what we're going to do, is during this interview process, we'll figure out what is the long-term plan, what are our strategic land acquisitions. That's another thing that goes into this is, right now we make a lot of land acquisitions. Are we being strategic? There's a piece that adjoins our property on the Omniplex right now that is a strategic land acquisition that I think we really need. But this will be a document that we can go to and say, hey, is this part of our strategic plan in this area? Yes, this was one of the land acquisitions that we would like to have, because eventually we'd like to have a visitor center on the highway in that area or whatever. I mean, I'm just giving that as an example. But those are the types of things that this plan will do. And it really is a guiding document for us to be able to make decisions from. And the National Council will be very much a part of this master planning process, and so that we're all in this thing together, and we all make a master plan that what we want the nation to look like as we move forward. That's kind of the idea.
So this will be a public document?
It'll be a public document.
Thank you, Chairman.
Right, thank you. Any questions? David?
On the capital improvement and the master plan, what, as far as what we have now, do you have anything prioritized? Or I know you named off a lot of things that need to be done. Is there anything prioritized now?
Prioritized in terms of
what as far as the master plan? I mean, you don't have so much money, but what would you target first and what to do?
Well, that's what the master planning process will produce, that document. I mean, I think one of our biggest challenges right now is we don't have any office space. Everybody is, stacked on top of each other, and we have people spread out downtown. We have different, offices throughout the jurisdiction, and I think identifying, our office space needs long term is probably the number one priority. And that capital plan will produce those documents for us. So this is based on our priorities, we'll be able to prioritize exactly what we want to move as we move forward. Number one is probably going to be in some type of administrative building. It's going to be at a house. All of our programs as we move forward, because you look at the Solomon McCombs building, has it reached its lifespan? You know, was it designed for, you know, what we need today? Is that space better used for an alternative purpose? You know, all those things will go into this. And the other thing is, it's very difficult right now. If you look from a maintenance standpoint, they're not proactive. You know, we'll be able to identify all the roofs, all the units, all the AC units that need to be, that, you know, have a set shelf life. And we'll say, you know, in 2025, we know that we're going to have to replace 3 units on our buildings, and that will be part of the maintenance plan. Versus now, we sit around and we wait until something goes out instead of being proactive. You're always going to have situations where something breaks before its lifespan is up, but generally speaking, from a maintenance standpoint, we can be proactive and avoid loss of business and just be ahead of the game on things. So that from a strategic maintenance standpoint, strategic capital improvement standpoint, and strategic expansion of the nation from a program standpoint, this master plan will drive that. And the company that we have here is FSB. They're going to talk about that long-term. The long-term planning in this document here, they've done this exact same thing for I believe Chickasaw Nation, Choctaw Nation, and their campuses really reflect the planning that went into this. And and we can do the same thing. We have a nice campus here, but it could be, from a strategic standpoint, we can utilize our dollars a little bit more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Thomas.
Okay, I got a question here. I know we're talking about the tribal capital complex master plan. Mm-hmm. Then what about the SRO? Will that fit into this, the Southern Regional Office?
It doesn't fit into this 5-mile radius.
I know that, yeah. But if they had an issue or something that needed to be corrected or whatever, I mean, would they just kind of be left out of the picture because they're not part of the capital complex?
No, sir. And there are.
Well, how would you address that then?
Through our standard procedures that they already follow. I mean, it's typically through forms, through tribal construction, and in the interior office, though they handle those kind of things anyway. It doesn't change any procedures.
The SRO could be easily included in this. The master plan, from a detail standpoint, will be extremely detailed on this complex. Mm-hmm. It'll be extremely detailed on the Omniplex, because we have active building going on. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of expansion per se at the SRO, but from a strategic standpoint, they could be included in this and just piggybacked onto this plan, even though they're not in the 5-mile radius, without additional cost. Because it would be more of a generalized plans for that area. And then if we feel like we need to, there's going to be an extensive expansion after looking into that, then we can look into maybe creating a master plan for their site. This is really a campus-driven master plan.
I understand.
Right. But yes, sir, I mean, we need to think strategically about the SRO as well.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Yes, sir.
More questions? And it's part of this master plan, and do y'all look at like energy, anything with energy or anything like that? I know we've been discussing,
right,
reducing, you know, you've been in those meetings. Is that something, is this part of that too, or can be?
It could be, yeah. And we would definitely, you know, every group at the nation will be interviewed, and we want to make sure that you know, the utility authority and efficient use of energy could potentially be in this, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Yes.
Who's going to spearhead this? I mean, as far as people, I mean, individuals, who's going to drive this and get it done and all that?
So what we're probably, we're going to have an oversight committee, being like an ad hoc committee that will be created by the chief, and just to keep the whole process on track, and it'll be six or seven of us. We'll be driving this, and we'll be setting up the meetings and feeding through our planning department primarily, but we'll be feeding information to the architects who are driving the plan. And so it'll be an oversight committee itself.
So we'll have a timeline, we'll have a starting date, and then we're going to finish it by a certain time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to point out one more thing. Another example is the road system we have here on campus. If you work here and you leave here at 5, you know how difficult it is to get out on the highway on Loop 56, at this north entrance. So, we're also looking at traffic flow, the way that we do the addressing here. The 911 response, all those things go into this master plan. And one of the things we have on our inventory now, that's actually funded, is a grand entrance, which will become off Highway 75. And we have the cutaway is already there. And that's one of the things we're looking at is, as we go through this process, is that where we want the grand entrance to be for the tribal complex on Highway 75? How's that going to affect the traffic flow on the campus? Will it remediate some of the stuff on the north side? It's fairly dangerous at 5 o'clock, when we have multiple people trying to turn on the north side. It gets a bit bottlenecked. But this plan will drive that, and we'll be able to use federal funds to, create our entrance. The way the entrance is going to look, the architecture, so that everything just fits hand in glove, so that we don't make decisions that go against the master plan as we move forward, and we know what it's going to look like. Yes, sir.
David.
With all this master plan and everything going on, will there be any type of, say, industrial engineers that come in and follow the processes and how everything works, try to minimize all the paperwork that you have to go through? I mean, there's a lot of steps we have to go through. I mean, that's what we did, hired industrial engineers that came in and followed all the processes through.
More like operations type.
Yeah.
I don't think this would drive the operational, like an operational study. I'd have to defer to the architects. Do you guys know? This would not get into the operations per se.
Not per se, but that could be one of the studies that you decide as a follow-up to this to take it further in understanding how your operations would perform within the study of the master plan.
Okay, any more questions, David?
No.
Okay. Oh, Mitch.
So basically, what you're saying with this master plan, the capital improvement fund will just be used for capital improvement, right?
Right.
Okay. And then I'm going along with what Thomas is saying. So anybody within the nation or the tribe, as long as they qualify for it, they can meet under that criteria, right? Just like what he was saying with the SRO.
Right, any governmental entity that the nation that we are operating now, we need to consider not only in the master plan, which is more of a campus-driven plan, but also in our strategic plan, which we are having a strategic planning aspect of this. So that's we would probably include anybody else in the strategic plan, but this is a specifically to the campuses that are located here in Okmulgee and driving the master plan here, but. The strategic plan would also get involved with the long-term capital improvement plan because some of our strategic capital improvements may not fall directly here in the capital complex. So yes, I mean,
okay.
If we want to build something at the SRO, we want to make that the number one capital improvement. Yes, that would go on top. That capital improvement plan would be also tied to the strategic plan.
Thank you.
More questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Jehola?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have is NCA 17-031, the law of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Planning and Grants Department for the development of a tribal master plan for the Muscogee Creek Nation Tribal Complex and surrounding properties. Sponsors, Del Beaver.
Chairman, I make a motion to do pass.
Motion for due pass by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Yahola. Discussion. All right.
So this is simply the execution part of the last piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. And then we did bring representatives from FSB to answer any detailed questions you have as far as what the processes are going to be, who's going to be on their staff, and what their timelines look like as well.
Okay. They can go through. They have a book here, a PowerPoint they have. They can come on up.
Thanks, sir.
If you guys want to go through this, we can talk about that.
We're going
to
do this, or
we can do it through the paper, or we can bring it up on the screen, whichever is desirable.
Either way,
it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Sure. Okay, you can do that. I think they're ready.
Do you want to go on the screen?
Did you bring? I know we weren't going to, but now we are.
Your flash drive.
Well, there's still anybody in the audience.
It's just in the drive. Go back to the USB.
Yeah.
You know, we will be asking you about your operation so we understand how everything flows, but we're hoping to get a deep dive into the efficiency of your operation.
And that's what we need to do as managers.
So, should I get a desk to talk? It seems like everybody's over.
There it goes.
Here.
Oh, actually, no, you want to speak to the committee.
Are they going to come back?
I don't know how that works. All right,
I don't get it as I paid it because you're all patient.
That we don't know where you're making this.
I said I work. Well, I'd like to thank the chairman and all the members of the committee for allowing us some time to share with you the master plan and kind of what's about the process. And so this is a pretty quick overview. I'm Fred Schmidt. I'm a principal with FSB Architects. Not with us tonight is Jason Holloby. I know certainly you know Jason Holloby. He's also a principal at FSB, and he is the primary principal in terms of our Native American market. But Jason and I have been working with Native American clients for the past 12 years, and we would be spearheading this master planning project. I'd like to recognize two other team members that are with FSB tonight. This is Kathleen Guthrie. Kathleen is an architect, and she's also a project manager. And Millie Bigler. Millie Bigler is with our mechanical engineering group at FSB. They are both currently working on some projects with you, including the mound house improvements that we're in today. So they're already familiar with the campus and what's going on. So let's go forward with Kathleen. I just want to share with you FSB's guiding principles, because we apply this to everything we do and every client that we work with in terms of excellence, teamwork, character, and community. But let's move to master planning, and I thought we might share with you kind of what is a master plan. But the first thing you really ask, the question you ask, is why a master plan? And so really the reason for master planning is to encourage thoughtful decisions, not only about current but future programs. It's going to be based on data that we collect, hard data, and informed decisions that we put together. It's a process that provides input from everyone, all the stakeholders within the nation. And the bottom line is that it really ensures the greatest potential for smart growth, and that's what Chris was referring to, making the best decisions that you can moving forward. So next, we like to say that not all master plans are created equal. This is why FSB places a great amount of care in our approach to master planning and how we work with you. But successful master plans are comprehensive. They're flexible in terms of their long-range view. They involve stakeholder input throughout. And it's a vision that brings everyone together. So I think we just crashed the... maybe not. Okay. So we want to talk you through the process, because we have about 7-step process that we go through, and we thought it would be helpful that you would understand what that's about. So the first piece is talking about what the project definition of the project really is. And so it's a collaborative aspect of working together. And we talked about approximately a 5 to 7 mile radius. And so this is to strategically determine the best utilization of all the properties within the nation. And so there are 4 significant properties. These are larger properties that would receive the full look in terms of master planning. And we've identified those on the map here, and they were discussed a little earlier. That's the Omniplex Agriplex site. I think we have some things that are going a little bit off the top of this, because you can't quite see the complex at the top. There's the 40-acre industrial site and the tribal complex we're at right now, and then also the country club site, which has a lot of thoughts about it, including potentially cultural center and some other uses for the nation. So the process is to start with your vision and designs for the future. So these are the steps we go through. The first step is what we call establishing the vision. And this is where we want to sit down with leadership and other key stakeholders, where we look at gathering facts in terms of what are the big ideas, what are the major things that you're working towards in terms of this being strategic. So there's a lot of things we talk about in terms of cultural influences. We look at the tribal perspective. We want to establish a mission statement for this master plan. We look at goals, objectives, workflow, and several other things. So, you know, some of the things that have kind of just in some informal discussions that have come about, and some things that we've chatted with some stakeholders is that of making Okmulgee a destination standpoint from tourism, particularly from the tribal standpoint. And also, we talked about creating an architectural language for all the buildings so that you would know that, oh, this is another Muscogee Creek site, that this is part of the nation, and you can recognize it because of the architecture and the design. So step two is, we've done a lot of listening in step one, but this is where we really want to listen and take a lot of notes, because this is where we get into a greater level of detail in terms of defining the needs. Talked about space requirements, existing programs, facilities, and as we talk about these existing facilities, you know, we're going to want to know how well are they functioning in terms of the space itself, how well is the building operating in terms of the systems. There's a discussion of energy efficiency. We can have some suggestions on those existing buildings in terms of what can we do to make it more energy efficient. Typically, the first thing off the bat is to put more efficient lighting in. It's the biggest bang for the buck. But after that, we look at air handling units and a lot of the other things that actually consume energy and going forward. So we look at expandability, but this is really where we're writing down all the ideas and all the needs as we understand them across the board and all these different sites and facilities. So the next step is that we will look at existing sites. And so from this standpoint, we're not just looking at, some of the sites are populated with buildings and structures, and some sites are less populated or not populated at all. So the sites that we're looking at and have facilities on them, we will actually go in and we'll bring our engineers. We not only have architects within our office, but we have every engineering discipline. So we have civil, structural, mechanical, electrical, including really working with our mechanical side. And so we come in and we will look at each of those building systems within the existing buildings on the campus. And as Chris was saying, we can help determine what's the useful life of that building or what's the useful life of some of the systems left in that building, so we can decide what are the strategic things to upgrade that will help it last another several years for the nation. So from there we go to the site evaluations. The site evaluations are really, we're doing a comparative analysis of alternatives in order to establish the best use of each site. And we're wanting to kind of see how does every site play into the master plan, how does every site play into the function and organization of the nation. So that they complement each other, they're not competing with each other, and you can make those strategic decisions that we talked about earlier in moving forward and prioritizing the proper projects going forward. So the next step five, is where we will try and digest all the information that we've been receiving from you, that we've been listening, that we've looked at the existing sites, and we will begin to put those into sort of a document, and then we will present that back to you. And the main thing we want to know is, did we properly hear what you were saying? Did we properly understand your goals? Did we properly understand the concepts that you want to use moving forward? So it's kind of a back check and understanding. Did we hear everything you said, and did we get everything down on that? And then we'll also begin to create some concepts. So you begin to see graphically the ideas that we've been putting down on paper. Now start seeing this graphically, helps you create some ideas and a vision in terms of where the project is going and what does the master plan really mean. Then from there we go to step six, which we will explore options. So with step five, we're hoping to have a consensus, of the proper direction of where we're going. And so with this step, we'll start looking at some options so you have more than one way, because there's always more than one way to solve the problem. And we want to look at a few different ideas on that. And you can see, well, we really like this part of this option, or we like the part of that option. And then we have the opportunity to kind of bring all those options together for the best singular solution as we go forward. So the next step is to actually develop that concept in greater detail. And so this will begin to look at in particular those four major sites that we talked about in terms of the Omniplex, the Tribal Complex, Country Club, and the 40-acre. That's where we'll actually begin to see the opportunities for the development of those sites, what opportunities are left on those sites. The Tribal Complex here has quite a few buildings on it, but there's still some open land that could provide some opportunities for some additional facilities on this site. As we look at those sites and going back to the site analysis, we're going to want to also take a look at all the utilities. We want to know, where's the water coming from, where's the gas coming from, power coming from. So we know how to plug all these buildings in. They all have to be plugged in at some point to the utilities to make them properly work. So as we analyze the site, we may find that, the water line is not big enough. Or because of all the facilities we have on this site, there should be a fire loop that goes around it, and it ought to be this size. And so that becomes part of the consideration, becomes part of the planning, becomes part of the prioritization that you can apply to how to implement the master plan. So the concept looks at all those things and begins to outline it for you. And then from there we come up with, in step eight, is the actual master plan report. And so we'll use the master plan report to help share the vision, to help share your vision with the rest of the nation. They all understand kind of how it's, we'll walk through it step by step so everyone understands the idea of moving forward, what the ideas are, what the priorities are. Within this, we'll also be doing cost estimates, so you know how much each component of the plan in terms of what's the value of developing that piece. The cost estimates along with the understanding of the different parts and pieces and projects within the master plan and help you make the right decision, the best decision to move forward and therefore set the priorities. As Chris was mentioning, this is going to allow you to plan, several years in advance what your expenditures ought to be and apply them in the most efficient way for the nation. So we do have a timeline. I think there was a question about the timeline. I don't know if you can see all this super clearly, but this is May, so this is where, January, February, March, this is kind of where we are now. And so we're looking at, basically this is the approval period of the contracts and moving forward. As we move into April, this is the data gathering stage of the master planning we're talking about, to have the meetings for us to listen, for us to get all the information, understand the goals, understand the needs for each one of these sites, for each one of the buildings. And so that's a one-month process. We have the visioning and programming that goes from May and June. And then we have the existing site facilities that we'll dovetail into that. We've allowed a month to make sure we can get our team of architects and engineers to every site, every building, over that period of time. And then we have concept development. So this is, we've gathered the information, we've analyzed the sites, we've analyzed the buildings, we have the information, we've kind of used you all as a sounding board to check back and make sure we heard everything properly, and we move into developing these concepts. So at the end of that process is when we'll present those concepts to you. They'll have alternates in it. We'll make some decisions with all of you to decide
let's, you know, which ones do we steer in on, which ones do we sort of zero in on, and then we have the final month here, which is the month of November, to put all that together into a master plan booklet that you can then use to go forward with the nation. So that's the timeline, and I think the next slide is just to see if you have any questions for us regarding the process. Okay.
Anybody have any questions?
Okay, one more. That's it. Thank you very much for your time. And we're available to field questions through Chris anytime, so if something didn't pop in your head tonight, just funnel it back through to us.
Thank you, sir.
Question? Yes.
Thank you, Jeremy. And what I did like, what I heard was that they would establish all our utilities. Because I know, talking about establishing a UA, that's one of the biggest problems we have is our rates, how much we're paying. We have so many different utilities that we're paying, too. I mean, it could be different from across the street. So I think that is a really something that we really need as a tribe is to establish what are we paying, what are our rates. And especially when we move forward with the establishing the utility authority, you know, I think that's really, really, really needed. Well, that's one of the things I really like to hear, because I just know that we pay different rates and we pay, I don't know how many different utilities. So even in, within this 5 miles, you know, we pay a lot of different people. That's one of the things I did like to hear was that it's that respect. So. Mm-hmm. That was just a comment.
Okay, all right. Question, Tom? Mr. Reno, question? You had this Omniplex and Agriplex site, so what are you considering on those sites there? So
the Omniplex would be the Cloud Cox Omniplex, mm-hmm. and the Agriplex would be the Pecan Grove. That's still calling it Agriplex. That chooses to be the, as it goes through this process, that's one of the ideas they had for that long term. Because what happened is, before Chief Lord decided to expand the master plan, originally we went through the procurement process on identifying a vendor to produce a master plan for the Omniplex and the Agriplex specifically. Okay. We went through that process. We interviewed, I think, six different architectural firms, scored them, and the scope was somewhat general. So the prices, the amount of money was all over the place because really couldn't tell exactly what we wanted to do. So we took the vendor that we chose during that process and got with Chief Floyd, and he said, you know, really I'd like to have a master plan that covers a 5 mile radius, and we just didn't deem that Agriplex, and we're not locked into that being an Agriplex. That's just what they're referring to it okay. in this very beginning stages. And there's could be an alternative use that it could end up being, but that's one of the ideas for that.
Okay, all right. I thought y'all had come up with something.
That was an idea from our new tourism director. He thought okay. about turning that in like an Agriplex and
okay.
long term, but we're still in the process of figuring for
that. Okay, all right. That's good. Any questions?
I just wanted to comment. Mm-hmm. I was telling Representative Beaver that as we go along, you're inviting participation and all that. I know when I sat in for a meeting for the speaker about this building, and they were trying to sell us like $1,200 benches, you know. that I think our own people could make a lot cheaper or a lot nicer. Mm-hmm. $750 plants and, you know, things, you know, and I just hope we don't get into any of that. I mean, I think if we are, there's certain things I think we can bring back and recycle our money. If we want those things, I think our own people can provide those.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
No more comments? Roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Chris Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chairman.
All right. That will be for the BFJ for funding. And that concludes on that part. And then other business. Do we have other business?
Yes, sir.
What? One? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, three of them.
Chairman, I make a motion that we add TR 17041 to the agenda.
Motion been made to add TR 17041 to the agenda by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Del Beaver. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passed and be added to the agenda. TR 17041, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a cooperative service field agreement with the United States Department of Agricultural, Animal, and Plant Health Inspection Service Wildlife Services for the benefit of Tourism and Recreation Department Fountainhead Creek Golf Course. Sponsor is Del Beaver. Motion for due pass by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Discussion.
You got somebody here to discuss this? Chris?
I'm actually just generally familiar with this. I believe this is the. Thank you, Chairman. Sorry. I believe this is the fence that. See here. Oh, this is the resolution that I guess they're working with the state trappers.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we have a pretty serious feral hogs problem on the Fountainhead golf course. And one of the things that we know is one is looking at putting up a permanent fence around the entire golf course itself, but also. Working through the state and using the tracking service through the state of Oklahoma. I believe that. Is that, you know, is anybody, Carly? That's it.
We had had an opportunity to meet with Fountainhead Golf Course Management, the USDA field reps, and Director of Tourism and Recreation, David Turner, talk about the feral hog problems that were at issue down there. The services that are available to Fountainhead are similar to the ones that are available to us through self-governance funding for invasive species management. A couple of those opportunities are to contract directly with the USDA service providers, that allow them to send their field agents out to actually perform culls of the feral hogs on the property. I don't know if this agreement would encompass that this particular provision, but there's also the opportunity to contract for use of a helicopter to make sure that the larger herds are taken out at once. Usually what we run into is when you see a few, you take the first couple of shots and they scatter, so you lose quite a few at that initial shots fired. When you're in the helicopter, you have a little more ability to track where they're going. It works best in the fall, obviously, when the leaves are down, but that is an option that they're considering. I would assume that they're probably going to be checking traps and doing more shooting from the ground rather than from a helicopter, but that is an option that we considered.
And we're taking requests for anybody who wants to hang out of the helicopter with 50 cows.
Right.
Sure. Sean Terry has already volunteered as well. He was hog hunting last weekend. He's only shot two, so.
And we've been pulling quite a few out of our traps down at Hannah and Dustin as well. So that's this is a progressive program that we're working on lots of locations in the on the nation's properties.
Okay. Bill.
What do you do with the hogs once you catch them? I get a lot of questions about that.
Some people eat them. Sean Terry eats them. Some people, a lot of people smoke them and then just smoke them and eat them. But a lot of people just leave them out there.
Yeah, I encourage that they bury them and leave them on site. I can't speak to what our current the current population's health is like, but they do occasionally test positive for communicable diseases. So we recommend that they're disposed of at the site that they're destroyed at.
Well, some people eat them.
Yeah.
So instead of medicating, giving that sucker in, basically.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean Terry's told me he had a pulled pork this morning. It was a wild hog. I was like, I don't know.
Any questions? Okay. No questions. Roll call vote.
Bill Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Okay. With this state and the crisis, is there any surplus properties within the jurisdiction that the state might consider conveying to the nation in any form?
Yes, sir. Actually, Carly just stepped away. You know, I don't think anybody read the newspaper this morning, but there's about 12 state parks that they're looking at vacating state parks. One of those is Lake Eufaula State Park. We have been in negotiations with state on either taking over that lease and running that ourselves and profiting off that or somehow buying that. The state of Oklahoma does not own a lot of state parks. They lease most of them. I think the Lake Murray State Park is one of the only parks they actually own. Hence, they're not listed on that number of parks that they're going to be closing. But, you know, we actually have a meeting with, what's the individual's name, Carter?
Dick Denton. He's the director, executive director of Tourism and Recreation.
On Monday. And we're going to be just letting him know that we are interested in any properties that they may want to get rid of, and also particularly the Lake Eufaula State Park. We believe, in conjunction with our plans at Fountainhead, that would be a strategic acquisition. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we've been very active with that. And I think Mr. Jerry McPeak has also been active with that with Ms. Snodgrass, who's the Oklahoma Department of Commerce. And so. Right. And I think okay. Chief Lewis also been talking with him as well.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right. End of other business. No other business and announcements. One announcement is our next month's LNC committee date will be changed from April 11th to the 18th. Prior to the week of 11th, it's our intertribal and that way we'll give them extra time to get any legislation in. Any other announcements? No announcements? All right, we're down to adjournment. Mark, Mr. Randolph, would you give us a benediction? Would you serve as our adjournment?
Father, we're thankful for all your blessings, Lord. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and your protection. Ask for traveling grace. We ask that you bless all the folks that are here today, Lord, that you clear their minds and touch them in their hearts, Lord. Grace us in your healing ways. We just thank you for all that you do. Say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Meeting adjourned.